Amen. Good morning. How are we this morning? Good. I hope you all had a Merry Christmas and ate lots of food and celebrated with the family. I'm going to trust that we all did. I know I did, and I'm still recovering from our food coma. So yesterday we made it through three of the Hobbit movies because I couldn't move. So and if you've ever watched the Hobbit trilogy, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a long trilogy. So man, I just want to welcome you to our church this morning. We are a church that is all about connecting people to life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are excited you're here, and I'm excited about what we're going to share about this morning. So if you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 with me this morning. Colossians chapter 2, whether it's on your phone or a hard copy or whatever, we're fine with all of it. So this morning, we're going to share with you our vision and our goals for 2021. And it's a hard time as a church to kind of vision and look forward to the future and knowing exactly what we can do, how we can do it, and different things like that. But as a staff, we've talked about a lot of this, and we have faith that we're going to be able to carry out what God has given us and laid on our hearts to do. And so I don't know about y'all, but I have a great amount of hope for 2021. Great amount of hope. I know it's not going to be easy, right? 2021 is not going to be an easy year at all. With the pandemic still looming and spreading like a wildfire, and everything else that we have going on, there's going to be a lot of challenges for us to face as a nation, as a city, and as a body of Christ. But I have hope, right? I have hope that God is going to continue to be faithful and that he's going to continue to provide exactly what we need in order to move forward with what he has prepared for us and for us to step into that. And so last week at our annual meeting, we took one of those steps, right? We took one of those steps and moved in that direction by approving two things. We first approved our budget of $266,000 for the year of 2021 with a majority of vote. And then we also approved a big change of changing the name of God of Wonders Fellowship to Crossroads Church. I know that doesn't seem like a big deal. A name is just a name, and it seems seemingly small in the grand scheme of everything else. But I truly believe that as a church, this is a faithful step that we're taking to move in that direction that God is leading us as a body of believers. And we're really, really excited about it. And I just want to say thank you for trusting me in this process and for trusting Chris and the staff and the leadership team in this process. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to be leading all of you. And so as we start today, I want to ask you this. How many of y'all are Disney World fans? Not just Disney fans, but like Disney World fans. Any of y'all ever been to Disney World? A couple of y'all. So notice my family like shot their hands straight up, right? So my girls over here is what I'm talking about. We love Disney World. And by we, I mean they love Disney World more than me. I enjoy it. It's fun. It's good. But they are huge, huge, huge Disney World fans. We've been a couple times. We've had the privilege and the blessing of taking them. But my wife, Jamie, her favorite attraction at Disney World is probably the most simple yet most annoying attraction on the face of this planet. I think I heard someone say it. It's a small world, right? Any of y'all that have been to Disney World, have y'all ridden on It's a Small World? Yeah, it gets old after about 1 minute, if not quicker than that. So, but that is her absolute favorite attraction. She loves it. I don't know why, but she does. But I do know why, actually. She loves it because of all the colors and the designs and everything. But she loves the song, too. I'll never understand it, okay? I'll never understand it, but she does. But I was thinking about that song this last week, It's a Small World. And it was written to remind us that this world that we live in, even though it may seem vast and large and grand to us, right, is smaller than we really think it is. Right, when we run into someone in an unexpected place, what do we say? Man, it's a small world, right? Or maybe we meet someone that knows a bunch of people that we know, what do we say? It's a small world. Right, and so the point of all of it, and the point of this song and what Disney's trying to do in their attraction, and they do a really good job at it, is reminding us that this world is smaller than we really think it is. And so that's what I want us to focus on this year, right? In this year and every year after that, for that matter, one of the things that we as a church really want to focus on and make a priority in the life of our church is we want to do small really, really, really well. Right? We want to do small really well. And here's what I mean by doing small really well. When we take the call of discipleship that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 28, right, when we take that call seriously, what we're doing is we're pursuing small. Right? Jesus never commanded us to go and do large programs. He never commanded us to go and have big events. But the thing that he did command us to do was go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And then he makes us a promise. He said, I will be with you through all of it to the very end of the age. See, as followers of Christ, we need to take small seriously. Right? We need to do small really well. We need to make life on life discipleship a priority in our church. And that's what we're going to focus on in the year of 2021. Right? And we're going to do it for multiple reasons. One, because God commands it, right? He commands it in his word in Matthew chapter 28. Our co-mission with Christ, or the great commission as we know it, like I said, is to go and make disciples. See, when we look at how Christ did this through the Gospels and we look at the model that he gave us, what we see in the Gospels and what we see through the Scriptures is he did it through life-on-life discipleship. That's how he did it. He had the big events. He had the big meetings. He had the times where he fed the crowd of 5,000 and 4,000, or actually more than that. But what he did in order to make disciples is he rubbed elbows with the 12 disciples. And then he even took it down smaller than that and rubbed elbows even more with the three, James, John, and Peter. And he did that for 3 years of his ministry, and then he sent them out to make more disciples, who make more disciples. The second reason is God blesses it. I really believe that. I believe that's the truth, that promise there that he says, I am with you to the ends of the age. It's the very last things that Jesus said. I'm with you. He will always be with us. And so when we're pursuing this mission and we're pursuing discipleship as a body of believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, right, we can know that God's going to be with us and he's going to bless us through it because his presence is with us. And then the third reason is because of COVID still looming and restrictions still in place with no end in sight, right? We can't really do big or focus on big. And it may seem like a punishment or a stripping of our rights or whatever, but here's the way I look at it. I look at it as a blessing because it forces us to think small, right? It forces us to have relationships with one another. It forces us to be in more one-on-one settings because we can still do that. And we can do it really well. And so as disciples of Christ, right, who are called to make more disciples, we want to focus on doing small really well this year. And we want to do it on three levels. We want to do it on-life discipleship, so first in our own life, and then one-on-one, or even one-on-three. And then we want to do it in community discipleship through small groups, or connect groups is what we're going to call them. And then we want to do life on mission, right? Outreach and missions. And so life on life discipleship. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul wrote this. He said, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so talking about when we were saved, right? As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Right? Jesus didn't come to earth to make, like, and enter into our humanness and live amongst us and serve us and die for us just for us to make a decision to go to church for a couple hours on a Sunday. That's not the whole purpose of what he came to do. Right, Jesus came because he wants us, right? He wants all of us. He wants our whole life. He wants to fill every place with his presence through his people. That's his mission. That's his purpose. He wants his people to be more and more and more like him in everything that they do, in everywhere that they go. But in order for that to happen, we have to make the intentional decision to continue on, right? To walk in him, to be rooted and built up in him, to be established in our faith, and to be abundant in gratitude and thanksgiving. That's what it means to do discipleship, essentially. And this happens through life on life, discipleship. See, when we think back to all the times that, when I think back to all the times that I learned and I grew the most, it wasn't on a Wednesday night in youth group or on Sunday morning in services. I remember like one or two sermons that I've ever heard. And I've heard quite a bit. But what I remember is sitting with someone, talking through life with that person, hearing them share the gospel, hearing them share scriptures that have impacted them, how it's impacted them, and vice versa. I remember those moments, and those moments have shaped more of my life than anything else. And that's what we want to happen, right? People who are willing to connect with me and to correct me and to encourage me, to equip me, to love me, and vice versa, to let me do the same in return. And this is what we want to see happening here at Crossroads Church, right? People living life together, sharing life together in one-on-one relationships. We want to see younger men being discipled by older men. We want to see younger women being discipled by older women, right? And we're going to provide you with a resource to do that. It's a resource that, as a leadership team, we're going through currently called Like Jesus. And we'll get into more of that in the future, in the near future, but that's what we desire to see. That's what we want to see, right? This is what we're praying for as a church, for life-on-life discipleship, and this is how we do small really well. The second area that we're going to do small really well in is in our small groups, which, like I said earlier, are going to be called connect groups, right? Connect groups are going to be a major part of our church, right? We want to encourage everyone that's involved in Crossroads Church to be a part of a connect group, to be a part of a small community that comes together with the focus of continuing their walk and being rooted and built up in their faith, because we believe that's crucial to our spiritual growth. Right? And it's in these communities that you build relationships with one another, relationships that you trust and that you allow to enter into your life that you can even maybe continue one-on-one with. Right? It's in these communities right here where you can call on people whenever you have a job interview and need prayer. Or maybe you're about to go to the doctor and you're not sure what kind of news you're going to get. Right? It's in these communities that you have no doubt you can pick up the phone at 3 a.m. and make a phone call and they're going to pick it up. And they're going to listen to you and pray with you. Right? It's in these communities that you find those people. And so we're going to focus on that. It's in these communities that you're truly established in your faith. And our goal and our prayer in this year is to launch 5 to 7 of these small groups, right? Starting around all around the Amarillo area, right? And we're gonna equip you to do this. I'm really excited about it. We're gonna have connect group leader trainings where we're gonna equip you and we're gonna resource you to do small really well. We truly do long for everyone to grow in your walk, right? To continue in your walk, to be rooted and built up and established in your faith, just like Paul wrote. And we believe that life in community discipleship, life in these connect groups is a large part of that. And then the third area, like I said earlier, is life on mission discipleship. Right, this area we're going to focus on this year to do small really well is in life on mission. We want to connect with, we want to love on, and we want to serve our community and our city. And so this year, what we're going to do as a church is we're going to look for ways that we can partner with established organizations in our area to build intentional partnerships in order for us to do this. And one of the big ways we want to do this is through our connect groups. We want to encourage our connect groups to serve in the community at least once a month with an intentional partner. Someone who's out there doing something like Refugee Language Project or Hope Choice or Maverick over here across the highway, or maybe a school in the community where you meet, or so much more. There's so many good partnerships out there that we can partner with and work with that are doing it really well. And then we'll also be working on building our current partnerships and establishing new partnerships with global missionaries and work towards giving and going more as a church body, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to every ethnos or every people group so they can hear and believe in this good news. so we can help connect them to life. And so those are just the three areas that we as a church are going to focus on as a whole, right, as the whole church this year. But Chris is going to come up, and he's going to share with you how we're going to do that in family ministries, so through kids and students as well. And so I'll let Chris come share what he has planned.
Well, I hope you're excited about our discipleship and the vision and the mission that we're on as a church. I'm excited about it, and the thing that excites me is that what Jason just talked about bleeds directly into what we're going to do in family ministry. There's no way that our family ministries are going to be successful if the whole church doesn't get behind what we're doing as a church, of doing small well. Because the question, as I was getting ready to kind of talk about vision and what we wanted for our family ministry, the question that kept coming to my mind was, what does it take to raise kids who will love Jesus with their whole hearts for their whole lives? Because ultimately, that's what I want to see, right? I want to see every child, every student that's in this room love Jesus with their whole hearts for their whole lives. That's the goal of what we're doing here. But the problem the thing we have to understand is it starts with us, right? As a parent who is a follower of Christ, this question is something I struggle with constantly. How do I raise my three kids to love Jesus with their whole hearts for their whole lives? I have that responsibility as a father, right? I have the responsibility of saying, how do I help my wife love Jesus with her whole heart for the rest of her life? As a husband, I have that responsibility. My first priority, because of those things, my first priority must be my own spiritual life. And that is where connect groups come in. That's where life on life discipleship comes in. I need an older man who's lived life and walked through stuff that I haven't yet, that I can't even imagine, to walk with me. I need that. That's a desire that I need. And I think it's something that we all can use and be a part of as we do life on life discipleship. And then being a part of a connect group. All of these things are important. My first priority must be my spiritual life, my own relationship with Jesus. I have to keep it strong and growing to actively pursue Christ every day. If I don't wake up every morning and say, today I'm going to follow the things that God has called me to do, it's noticeable. When I'm off in my relationship with Jesus, when I've had a busy week and haven't been in God's word, it's noticeable. My kids can notice. They may not understand that's what's happening, but my kids can tell. Courtney, my wife, can tell. She knows when I've not been in the word as much as I need to be, and she'll call me out on it. That's a beautiful thing of marriage, right? As husbands, your wives will call you out on your stuff sometimes, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. But Courtney will. She'll notice, and she sees it's evident to my family in ways they probably don't even realize that when I'm off in my relationship with Jesus. And so thinking of family ministry, thinking of living life in discipleship, Jason said, hey, we want to make disciples, we make disciples, we make disciples. What was that mean? No? Okay. All right. That was the Lord. All right. We want to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Well, guess what? The beautiful thing is, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're a parent, you have little disciples right there in your home. And you're discipling them one way or the other. You're either discipling to follow after Christ, or you're discipling them to not. But they're going to be your disciple, period, because they're your children. You spend more time with them than you spend with anybody else. They spend more time with you than they spend with anybody else. Your children will become your disciples. So what are you discipling them to? See, I have to start small, make an everyday, sometimes every moment decision to follow Christ. There are days where I literally have to tell myself, I'm gonna love Jesus today. I'm going to follow Jesus today. And sometimes I have to say that multiple times a day because, man, the days can get hard and they can be long and it can be difficult. But I have a responsibility, first and foremost, to my God, my Savior, to love Him, to follow Him. But as a father and as a husband, I have a responsibility to my family to love Jesus with my whole heart. Raising kids to follow God starts with me. Raising kids to follow God, parents, grandparents, start with you. See, for too long, I feel like there's been an issue within the church. The church was never meant to be a primary place for spiritual development of the family. It's not what the church was ever meant to be. I think as parents, and I'm guilty of this as anybody, sometimes we outsource our responsibility for discipleship of our children to the church, to the experts. We've decided that, well, this person is paid and they know more than I do, so I'm going to let them be the ones that teach my kids. We'll make sure they're in church, we'll take them there, and everything will be good, right? But the problem with that is here, let me give you this little statistic. Let's just say you and your family come to church twice a week for an hour. Okay, it's 52 weeks in a year, so that's 104 hours a year that the church gets to teach and disciple your kids. That's if you're here every single week, right? Every Sunday and every Connect group or every Bible study or every, what you know, two times a week for 52 weeks, it's 104 hours. You know, anyone know how many hours are in a year? I did the math this morning, don't worry. 8,760. So the church has 104 hours a year to disciple people. You have 8,760 parents. Now, I didn't account for sleeping and all that stuff, but we'll just hope that what you're teaching them and as they're is you know soaking in while they're sleeping. So we'll still count those hours, right? So there's the huge difference. There are 365 days or 8,760 hours in a year. The church, if it's lucky, gets 104 of those hours. That's if you're here every week, twice a week. And let's be honest, with the way things are going in our world today, kids are busier, families are busier, things are crazier, especially right now. No one knows what's going to happen week to week or day to day right now. And so 104 hours can quickly dwindle down that the church has the opportunity to teach or disciple your kids and students. So parents, families, this is why what I feel, and I talked a little bit about this at our meeting last week, but I feel the most important thing for us as a church to do is to equip families to be the primary disciplers of the family. Right? We want to equip families, we want to equip parents to be the primary disciple makers of their children. That's our goal. And so everything that we do is going to be focused and centered around that. And so we're going to do two things. I'm going to talk about kids and I'm going to talk about students. So parents, this one more word for you. For parents to be caring for their own souls and walking in Christ is the most important thing. Because only then can we, as Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Right, the only way that we as parents, that we as families can train up our kids in the way that they should go is if we are training ourselves as well. Is if we are spending the time to care for our souls, to grow in our relationship with Christ, to know Jesus better every single day. That is the only way that we're going to be able to then train our kids how they should live, right? So that's our call. Parents, I want to encourage you. We are going to equip you to do this. I understand the feeling, even as I've been in ministry for 15 plus years, even someone who's been in ministry for 15 plus years, I still feel inadequate at times. I feel that I am not able to answer all of the questions that I know are going to come out. Right? There are things that I haven't even had to deal with my kids yet that I know are coming that I just sweat about, that I get a knot in my stomach, that my heart aches because I don't know how I'm going to answer some questions. Because this world is difficult and it's hard. It's broken. It's full of brokenness and sin, and our kids bear the brunt of it sometimes. And we as parents have to understand how to answer those questions when they come up. Well, the church is here to help equip you to do that. And we will. Part of that is one-on-one discipleship, life-on-life discipleship, one-on-three, one-on-one. You know, that's why I want to have an older Christian man who can I can come to and say, my kid just asked me this question. I have no idea what to do. What did you say when they asked you this question, right? How great is that? How great is it that God ordained the family, they also ordained the church to be able to walk alongside the family as we raise kids together? It takes a village to raise kids. We can't do it alone. I don't want to do it alone. I'm going to screw them up, right? Right? No? So I've got two in here right now, so they understand what I'm talking about. So, parents, It starts at the top. It starts with us. We have to take care of our souls. We have to know Jesus. We have to be growing in Jesus. We have to be walking in rooted and built up and established in our faith so that we can pass that on to our children. So what are we going to do at Crossroads Church to come alongside you and partner with you? Well, in Crossroads Kids, we seek to expose every child to the truth of the gospel from an early age so they will know and live out the truth of Christ as they grow and are shaped by His word. That's our goal. When your kids come here and they're in the back on a Sunday morning, we want to help them to be exposed to and open their eyes to maybe some truths of the gospel, some truths of God's word. And then we want what they learned back there, we want them to be you to be able to take that, parents, and ask them questions about it on the car ride home or over lunch at your favorite restaurant on Sunday afternoons. Right? We want to be able to equip you to be able to talk to your kids about the things of God, the things that they're learning on Sundays. I will do my best to provide families with necessary tools to walk together through God's word while they're at home together in their own small group, right? You're in your own connect group every single day with your family. If you have a wife and a couple of kids, well, there's your connect group. Some people have a bigger connect group than others, right? If you are a family, which is what we're dealing with, you have the opportunity to help students and kids connect to the word of God, and we're going to help you do that. We'll start this on Sunday mornings during the service. We'll have dedicated, loving adults and sometimes students who will encourage and equip kids with the truth of Christ. See, one of the things that I think is an important aspect of being a part of the church is serving in the church. And we already have several loving adults and caring adults who are back there consistently on Sunday mornings and helping your kids know and love Jesus better. We need more. We need more people who are willing to say, you know what, I'm going to step in, because there are going to be some kids that come who don't have good home lives or don't have the opportunity for parents to be able to help disciple them. And so we need to step in and fill in that gap sometimes. We need loving adults who are going to come and are going to say, you know what, on a Sunday morning for an hour once a month, or once every other month, or however it all lays out, depending on how many volunteers we have, we're going to step in for an hour on a Sunday morning, and I'm going to love on some kids. I'm going to show kids the love of Jesus, that there are people in their lives that see them, that recognize that they are valued in God's eyes, they are valued by the church, and we're going to pour into them for an hour on a Sunday morning. One of the things that I would ask as the family pastor is that if you have kids that go back on a Sunday morning, that you would volunteer once a month to be back there. As a member of Crossroads Church and as a follower of Jesus, if you have kids in the back, you would volunteer once a month to say, you know what, I'm going to go back there and I'm going to love on some kids for 1 hour once a month. It's not much. It's not a lot. And then if we have an overabundance of volunteers, guess what? It may be once every 6 weeks. Maybe once every 2 months. Lord willing, we'll get into a rotation where we don't need you for once every 6 months if we have that many volunteers. We're going to have a lot more people for that. So start inviting some people. What we want to see is we need kids to be able to see people and recognize faces and say, you know what? Robert and Carolyn Simmons love us. How do we know that? Because they go back and volunteer in the back. I'm not saying that Robert and Carolyn are. I just picked them out of the crowd. But they can, and they would do a great job of it. Right? We need to be able to see, kids need to be able to see adults within the church who love them and care for them. And the best way that you get to know some of these kids is by spending an hour with them on a Sunday morning. It's not hard. It's not long. We'll provide you with the materials. You don't have to be an expert in Bible knowledge. You don't have to have everything together and ready and perfect. That's not what we're looking for. What I want is people who love Jesus and will love on some kids for an hour. It's not hard. And so that's our hope, and that's where it starts. It starts first your relationship with Christ. You have to know and love Jesus, and then can you help some kids know and love Jesus on a Sunday morning? So it starts with connect groups, and we'll have dedicated and loving adults and students who will encourage and equip kids with the truth of Christ. And like I said, I will do my best after Sunday mornings to provide families with the material and the things that they need to walk together through God's word while they are at home together in their own connect group and their own small group. We want to see families discipling families. That's what we want to see. I want to see husbands and wives discipling kids. That's the beauty of the church. You have your own small group that you get to disciple. Parents, you have your own disciples right in your hands every single day. What are you discipling them into? And then students. I was in student ministry for full-time for about 12 years. And so students are very near and dear to my heart. And one of the things that is so hard about this season that we're in currently with the coronavirus is that students can't be together like they want to and like we want them to. I remember growing up, much like Jason was saying, you know, his most formative times where he grew the most were in one-on-one or small group scenarios. It was the same for me. I remember when I was in high school, my junior and senior year, my student pastor took me and about seven other students aside, and he called us the core group. Not that we were the core of the ministry, but cultivating our relationships eternally was what the acronym stood for. And what he was doing, he was calling out in us leadership potential. He was calling out in us the people that he knew God had created us to be. And the way that he knew that is he spent time with us and he loved us. And these were some of my best friends. I still to this day think back on these memories fondly, where I remember just laying awake at night, spending the night at a friend's house, opening up our Bibles and looking at and saying, oh, this was my favorite verse in this chapter. And then we'd flip over and say, oh, what about this verse? And we just talk about scripture together, at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. Right? Those were some of my most formative years. Well, thanks, Corona. You've kind of put us back on that. But one of the things we can do is we can still do small. We can do connect groups for students. And one of the things that is going to start quickly as the new year approaches is we're going to start meeting together for students. And right now, our student ministry is 7 through 12, and right now, most likely, all of our students from grade 7 through 12 are going to be together, and that's a huge age gap, and the more we grow, then we'll be able to break off, and soon we'll just do 7th and 8th, and we'll do 9th through 12th, and then as more kids, our students begin to come, we'll be able to make those groups smaller and more age-related, but something else this is going to take, just like with kids, is going to take volunteers. So I need, and I'm asking you as a church to pray about, how can I help, right? How can you help with students? How can you help with kids? These things that we do takes the whole church, okay? And so for connect groups for students, most likely there'll be, right now we have our 5th and 6th grade connect group, and that's going well. We have between 8 and 12 kids coming to our 5th and 6th grade connect group right now, which I am loving and enjoying. I'm leading that one right now. And I have a 6th grader, and he's something else. Just kidding. But it's very simple. Provide you with the material, look over it before you come, and just have a conversation with the students about what we're talking about. So we'll start small with connect groups. We do 5th and 6th on Sunday nights, so we'll probably start our student connect group on Sunday nights up here at the church as well, unless we have a home or volunteers to take that. But those things are things we'll discuss as we come up to it. And so as we grow, we'll go big when needed and necessary. So we want to start small and do small really well. We want to do connect groups really well, and we will never stop doing connect groups. We will always have student connect groups because that small group relationship is one of the most important things, I think, in the development of students. Because I remember growing up, I remember names and faces and places, not necessarily of camps that I went to or big events that we did. I remember names and faces and places of Bible studies I went to with small groups of people, or living rooms I sat in with adults who were discipling me and pouring into me as a student. So that's what we want to see. That's what we want to happen with our student connect groups. And so we will start small with connect groups, and then as we grow, we might start meeting once a month and having a big worship service like we would do like on a typical Wednesday night, right? As we grow and as it's necessary and as we have the opportunity to do that. We're not going to put students at any more risk for coronavirus than they're already at going to school every single day, and so we'll work through all of this crazy season as we go. And then we want to once again equip families with the tools for discipleship. One of the things that in the 15 years of ministry that I've seen to be true in regards to kids and students is this. If the family is invested in church, not just attending, not just coming to church and dropping kids off, but invested in the church, if parents are living out their faith every single day, if your kids and students can tell that that Jesus is important to you, right? Your relationship with Christ is priority. Walking in Christ is your priority. Then kids and students are more likely to remain faithful as they grow. I've seen students in my years in ministry who only by the grace of God do they still follow Jesus because they had no discipling aspect at home. The home life was horrible, and only by the grace of God do they still follow Jesus. But I've also seen, more often than not, the kids and the students who I've seen grow into mature, faithful followers of Christ years after graduating high school are the ones whose parents, whose families made it a priority to disciple them. That their relationship with Christ for the parents, that Jesus was not just a Sunday thing, but Jesus was every day. Top of the list, number one priority. That's what we want to see for families. And so I think I've gone longer than I was supposed to. I'm long-winded and I apologize, but I'm passionate about this. I want to see every child, every kid, every student in this building this morning, I want them to love Jesus for their whole lives with their whole heart. That's what I want to see. And it starts with us, parents, families. And so I'm encouraged, I'm excited to see how we can partner together as the church with families and help the family grow in their relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just who you are. God, we thank you that you ordained the family, that you created the family. God, the first institution that you made was marriage and the family. And so, God, we know that it's important to you. God, and you ordained the church, the body of Christ, to come together and to grow and to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So, God, I pray that we as a church can come alongside families and help disciple and grow families into mature, faithful followers of Christ. Father, we thank you that we get the opportunity to meet in this place. We thank you that we get a fresh vision, and I pray that we as a church will push forward through all the obstacles and all the craziness that this season has offered us, that we will push forward and continue to love you and be on the mission and catch the vision that you have given us, God, to do small really well, for people to be connected to life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, help us as a church to be about that. God, we love you. We thank you. It's